Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now we're going to continue what we've been discussing about the issue of the seven attitudes that beget failure. We have examined a number of points, which I always like to review as I go on each day. First and foremost, I explained that God made this life in paths, that is, roads. That is, you choose your destination in life by choosing the paths you are walking upon. If you read from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, he said you should stand by the ways and ask questions. Seek the good path. That is, the good path doesn't come naturally to people. It has to be sought out. The good path doesn't just come naturally. It's a decision you make to walk in the path that is good in life. Therefore, David said, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That is, the fear of God doesn't come to you naturally. It's something you have to come so that you may be taught. You must make a conscious effort. Your life will not just turn out good because you think that you are handsome. Your life will not just turn out good because you think you are beautiful. There are people who think that their beauty is a passport to enduring prosperity. Yes, I'm going to marry a very rich man. Around nonsense. People who have been finer than you have come through this life and have ended up in frustration. Do you understand my point? Now, so let's get it clear. Victory and prosperity will not come to you just because you desire it, but they will come to you because you did the things that are necessary. You went out to seek the ways of God. Please, let's emphasize it. What we are learning is the way of God. God has a way by which he wants us to walk, and the walk and walking with God is actually the true path to success in life. Life is in paths. You choose your path by the moral choices that you make concerning life. If you choose there to do what is right, then you are going in a way that is going to lead to prosperity. I quoted last time from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 6, that the Bible says that so Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. So those are the things I've been saying, and I told you that I picked specific things, not because they are the only things that are important, but they are the ones I just laid upon my heart, I believe, by the Holy Spirit, so that we will take note concerning them. There are things that many of us know. Laziness, as an example, is one thing that ensures poverty in life. And I think it's so obvious that we don't have to go by it. So I didn't include that amongst the seven things that we are discussing. But I've picked up seven things that are crucial. We talked about fear. We talked about pride that begets arrogance. We talked about not having sound principles or not holding on to the sound principles that one has already. We talked about the matter of lying. And that's about the place that we stopped. Today I want to pick up another of those principles that I said. If a man decides to walk in this manner, operating this along these lines, what he's doing is that he's setting himself up for failure, finally. And the one I want to pick on again today, all right, is a matter of greed and covetousness. I mean, I'm using two words now to describe the same thing. The matter of greed and covetousness. And two of them I'm going to discuss. Today I'll also talk about the matter of betraying people, especially your friends, and not being trustworthy. Those are the two things we're going to discuss today. Number one, greed and covetousness, and the matter of unfaithfulness towards people, betraying especially friends. Now, to begin that discussion today, I'd like to read from the book of Proverbs chapter 28. I read from verse 20. It says, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. Then he said in verse 22, he said, a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth, and does not know that poverty will come upon him. Now, I've read these two scriptures to highlight the thing, like I said, we are going to be talking about today. First of all, let's take that second scripture. That's verse 22 of that Proverbs chapter 28. It says, a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth, and does not know that want or poverty will come upon him. That, you know, I said something earlier, that the direction people are taking in life when they follow purely their desires is one of the things that eventually lead in failure. Do you understand my point? The man that becomes rich in life is not the one that truly desires riches. In fact, when Jesus was teaching, he told the disciples, he said, whosoever is going to come out to be the greatest amongst you must be the one that is the most serving of amongst you. That is, he must be the servant of all. That is, the man who will become great is not the one that desired greatness, but the one who desired to serve. The things of God are very interesting. The Bible says that God takes the foolish things of this earth and uses them to confound the wise. What am I trying to explain? You've seen things like, if you want to be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. And it sounds so poetic and so romantic, and would like to repeat it. But I dare to say that's not what God said. He said, if you want to be a millionaire, think like a servant. That a man who will be the greatest amongst you
must be one that is willing to serve more than any other person. This is an established principle of prosperity, which is a godly principle. The man who wants to be rich must look for how he will be of service to people. Jesus said that the rulers of these Gentiles, they lord it over them. He said, but for you, it must not be like that. That is, a man who wants to rule really must not be the one who wants to lord over people, but one who wants to serve people. The divine way by which you get prosperity and greatness in life is to go through the path of service. That is, your heart must not be set upon that which you are going to receive, but your heart must be set upon that which you are going to give. That's why the Bible said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that is a matter of fact. What I'm trying to say here is this, that the ways of God are so different from our ways. Like he said in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. The ways of God are so different. And what is the way of God? God says that, listen, the man who is running after money, it is poverty we find. But the man who is willing to let his own personal desires go so that he might be of service to people is the one that's going to find greatness. Listen to this. These people that are looking for things in life are often not the ones that find it. Like Paul said concerning righteousness, he said the nation of Israel, the Jews, they sought after it by the law, but they did not find it. He said, but the Gentiles that were not looking for it, do you get my point? Were the ones that the gospel of truth came to, and they received it and attained the righteousness of God. That the righteousness of God was not going to come by the law, but was going to come by faith in Christ Jesus. What am I going to explain? I've said it again and again. We must learn what God is saying. Do you follow? Now, this scripture we are reading here, which is what I'm trying to expound, this Proverbs chapter 28, verse 22. It said, the man that runs after wealth is the one that has an evil eye. That is his covetousness. That's what he's talking about. That the man, because of covetousness, he's running after money, but he doesn't understand that what he will find is poverty. Please, this thing is very important. You know, like I said earlier, the ways of God are so different from the ways of man. And let me tell you the truth, at the end of the day, God is always shown to have been the one telling the truth. Anybody else who disagrees with him will discover that he is the failure. Do you get my point? He's the loser. That would have been better if he took time out to agree with God. Please, get what I'm trying to explain. Let me say this to you resoundingly. Let me say clearly. Striving for money will not get it for you. Running up and down because you want it will not get it for you. The Bible says it is vain for a man to rise up early and go to bed late, thereby eating the bread of sorrows. He said God gives to the people he loves even while they sleep. Do you follow the point I'm making? Don't forget the story we read the other time about Nebuchadnezzar. That Nebuchadnezzar looked and said, is this not Babylon the Great that I have built as a royal palace for my majesty? He said, I built it with the strength of my might. And God said, no, it is not so. So God took him off the scene for a lengthy period of time. And when he returned, Babylon had become stronger. And they reinstated him to the throne without his fighting for it. Therefore, he began to worship God. What am I saying? The man did not get it by his strength. Do you get my point? The man who strives after wealth, the Bible says he's looking for poverty. Please, I want you to understand these things. The man who's running after money, what he will find is poverty. A lot of people think that the passport to riches is to run up and down. Oh, now I'm going to run, I'm going to America. Listen to me. If your eye is just pursuing after money, after what you will gain, wanting more and more and more, the Bible says that eventually it is poverty that is going to come upon you. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? There's something that Jesus taught us once. He said, beware of covetousness. He said, be aware and be on guard against every form of greed. I like the way he said it in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. I'm using the New American Standard here. He said, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when a man has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. He said, the reason why a lot of people are running after money up and down, they think that they will get satisfaction from that thing in life. Let me tell you something. The satisfaction you don't have inside your soul when you don't have plenty, Jesus is saying here, it will not come to you when you have abundance. Please, the Lord is always telling the truth. He does never make mistakes. The satisfaction you didn't have inside you when you did not have much, it will not come into your life when you have abundance. Solomon explained it like this, that it is vanity upon vanity. It is like chasing after the wind. One of the things that make men fail in life is when they pursue money with every bit of their being. They put the love of money first of all in everything that they are doing. I say something all the time. Listen, Satan is not stupid. Anytime he wants to entice you away from the place of your destiny, it is money he uses. And I've discovered a particular principle. Jesus said that you cannot serve two masters. He said you cannot serve God and mammon, that is money, covetousness. That is the love for money. It doesn't allow you to do what is the will of God. Now, based upon this, I said something to somebody once. He said that I would have loved to do this, but I wonder how much money there is in it. And I said to him, because I was talking to a Christian, I said, the place where money holds in your life is a place where God cannot be found. Please get what I'm trying to explain here. When Satan wants to beat you away from the thing that is pleasing God, then one of the things he uses is the love of money. He will begin to explain to you what you are going to get. Let's take jobs as an example. People change jobs every day, just for a little increase in pay. They have jumped from one place to the other. Let me just say this to you, if you are one of those people who do that. What you are doing is that you are setting yourself up for poverty. Every little increase in salary is not enough for you to jump from one place to the other. Remember, what am I discussing? I am discussing how what people will do and their lives will end up in failure. And that's what I'm talking about, greed and covetousness. Always wanting to have more. Because you see, the fact is that in life, you will never get to a particular point where you will say you have enough if you don't have satisfaction inside you. Once they asked John D. Rockefeller, "You are the richest man in the world." He was at that particular point in time. He said, "You should know what it takes to make a man satisfied." He said, "How much money does a man need to be satisfied?" And he said, "Just a little more than he has already." That's to let you know that people are under the power of covetousness. There's another real estate, a man who does a lot of real estate development. He said, "Do you want to buy all the land that's in the world?" He said, "No, not at all. I just want to buy any land that touches my own." You see, that's to tell you that men don't ever get satisfied. Are you getting my point? So if you think that extra pay is going to solve all your problems, you are lying. I'm talking about how you will set yourself up for poverty. This is what happens. Every little increase, you take a job today. After 3 months, you hear that the next place they are paying you a few thousands extra. You have jumped from here and you have gone to that place. You know, a young friend of mine, the other day we were speaking, and these are men who understand the ways of God. He's working in a particular place. The pay is not bad. But of course, every young man can do with much more money in life. And then a friend of his calls him and said, "Look, these big companies, you know, these multinationals, they are hiring people now. I want you to put in your application here and there. You know, peradventure, God will open a door and you will step in." And he looked at me. He said, "Ha." He said, "That was tempting." He said, "But I thought about it. I think where I am right now is the place where I should be for now." Listen to this. He would like to earn much more than he's earning right now. His current pay may not be fantastic, but he said, "I think where I am right now is where I should be for now." If you can never make that kind of statement in the face of extra income coming your way, if you were to jump from one place to the other, then you are not setting yourself up for prosperity. Indeed, you are setting up yourself for failure in life. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, let me tell you something about greed and covetousness. Because a lot of time when we hear it, what we instinctively think about is that we are talking about people who are wicked, people who are thieves, people who just want everything. Believe me, most of the people who look at other people and point those fingers at them that this man is a greedy man, he has 6 cars. This man is a greedy man, he has 5 houses. Listen, as they are pointing that one finger, the other 4 fingers are pointing towards them and they don't realize that in the eyes of God, they are as greedy and as covetous as the other man. Let me explain the principle to you. When Jesus talked about mammon in the Bible, when he talked about mammon, he wasn't talking about wanting to have plenty. He was talking about wanting to have the security. Do you follow my point? That money, material possession, gives. He said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." He said, "For this reason I say to you," you can find this in Matthew chapter 6 and also in the book of Luke. He said, "For this reason I say to you, take no thought for the morrow. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, and wherewithal shall you be clothed." That is, when he was saying that you cannot serve God and mammon, he now said, this is what I call the serving of mammon. Worrying about what I shall eat, the basic sustenance of life. He said, when you think that what you have materially is what is going to, listen, is what is going to give you security concerning tomorrow, then you are serving mammon and you can never please God. You know, one of the things, after meditating and looking around in life, I find that a lot of people live for themselves alone. Listen, I just want to say this in passing. If you are a child of God, you must be a generous giver. If you are not a generous giver, listen, you are a man that is going to fail. Now listen to what I'm going to explain. I am not saying when you need something. That is the asinine way by which people give, and even preachers teach them to give. He said, when you need something, go and give out something so that God may give you back. That's not what I'm talking about. That is giving of selfishness. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm talking about having a lifestyle. Please, if you can, I encourage you, go to our website and download the tract that I called The Cheerful Giver. Now, in that tract, The Cheerful Giver, I explain what it means to be a cheerful giver. That a cheerful giver is not just a man who's smiling and rejoicing when he's giving. It's a matter of the attitude of the heart. A cheerful giver is a man who knows that the money in his hand does not guarantee his tomorrow, does not guarantee his success. Therefore, he's willing to serve the purpose of the moment. And when the purpose of the moment requires that he helps somebody else who is in need, or helps the word of God move forward, or honor somebody that he's supposed to honor, he does not hold back. Any man that holds back all the time because he wants to increase his business, he wants to increase what he has, he wants to finish his house, is one man who will not do well in life. Listen to me, a Christian must be a cheerful giver. I recommend that you contact one of our sales points and get this MP3 CD titled Your Money. I discuss this thing in detail. Listen, stop being a selfish person. This selfishness, which I see a lot of times in Christianity these days, in which people give only because they want to connect with an anointing, in which people give only because of what they are going to get. A man told me the other day that he asked a question, we're in a meeting. He said, is it true that if you carry all your money to church, your business will prosper? I told him, it's around nonsense. It's not true. Because selfishness does not ever make anybody prosper. The giving that you are giving because of your greed does not get anything from God for you. Do you follow my point? It's an attitude of failure to be thinking of yourself alone all the time. It's an attitude of failure. A greedy man listen, and you know, I was explaining something about when the Bible says somebody is covetous and serving mammon. He doesn't have to be thinking about great things. It's those little things that he cannot release because he thinks my life depends on this. Interestingly enough, when you see that context in which Jesus was teaching about covetousness, in the book of Luke chapter 12, a man had approached him and said, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. Now listen to me, it will appear as if what the man asked for was good. In fact, you know, that's why he had the boldness to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to come and ask, because he wasn't asking for what would appear bad in the ears and eyes of everybody else. So he asked boldly, openly, Master, teacher, please tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. And Jesus said, who made me a judge over you? But that's not the point. The point was the comment he passed to his disciples as a result of the request of that young man. He said, beware of covetousness. Listen, there are two ways to look at that. Alright? Because I thought about it. Which one of them he was saying in effect, I don't know for sure. But both of them just make sense, and the Spirit of Christ is manifested in both of them. Assuming he was talking to the young man who was shouting, tell my brother to divide inheritance for me. Then he was telling the young man, in effect, that even though your brother doesn't give you the inheritance, do you follow my point? You will still succeed in life. Don't worry about it. Let me illustrate that. Many years ago, somebody told me a story. There was a man who built a great company. And then one day, all right, the man became old and he became sick or something and he died. And then the children began to fight over the company. They were fighting who would take control, who would own the company. There was a man there who had worked with this old man who died for many years. He started working for the man as a young man. He walked up to the man's first son. He said, you are fighting for this company, you are fighting for this company. He said, the real inheritance, I have collected it. What you people are fighting over are the material things that, you know, your father left behind. The real training of hard work, innovation, faithfulness, accounting, how to do business, I took it from your father by following him around and learning those things from him and serving him faithfully. You people are fighting over nothing. That's what Jesus was saying. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the physical things that he possesses. Many, many years ago, you heard the story of Thomas Edison, J.T. Edison. They said one day his lab, which was valued in those days, decades ago, all right, it was valued at over $2 million. I mean, we are talking, if it's today's day and age, you can imagine you'll be getting close to have $1 billion in valuation. They said one day the thing burnt down. And the man looked at it and said, of course, everybody was feeling very sad, feeling very bad for him. He looked at the ashes, looked at the burnt laboratory and the factory. He said, well, all our mistakes and errors of previous years have been burnt up. Thank God we can start again. We can have a fresh start. We can start all over again. Do you know the sense in that thing? You know the lesson in it? That the real substance is outside. Even though you take that away, which is outward, I will yet become great because the substance of greatness is inside me. So when Jesus was talking about being careful not to be covetous, what he was saying in effect is this. Don't think that what you are going to grab outside is what will secure your tomorrow. Are you getting my point? And remember I said that there are two ways you can look at what that thing that Jesus said. The second way is this. Maybe he's talking to the elder brother who refused to give his brother any part of the inheritance. He was saying that man in effect, you want to take everything, thinking that will guarantee your tomorrow. It also won't guarantee it. You are getting what I'm trying to explain. Whichever way you look at it, what Jesus was saying is that stop fighting over material things. You must be ready to let go. Are you getting my point? You must be ready to let go. A man who is covetous is a man who doesn't know God. Do you follow my point? It's a sign of lack of faith, and that's why it really sets you up for poverty. Always trying to grab. There's something I always tell business people. I said, it's not every customer that's your own. The other man too must eat. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Yes, it's not every business that is yours. You should be, look, listen, you should be generous enough and have faith enough to let somebody else take a part of the business. You are doing business, only you want to eat everything. One of my young men the other day, he was talking that you will see big, look, you give a man a job. If I was describing one, a particular big man for me, you know, he didn't mention names, but he was just telling me about an experience he had. You give a man a job. It is your job to build this big building. It is valued at tens of millions of naira. You are the main contractor. Yet, when the man wants to get people to supply them block, he says, put something for me. The people who are going to supply cement, put something for me. This is eating with every finger. You can never live long and succeed like that. It doesn't work. Every time you connect a friend with a business, you want your cut. That is the height of covetousness. Can't you connect somebody with a business and let him thank God? If he wants to come and see you after and say, okay, look, I'm so grateful how you helped me take, but you must collect a cut. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Your friend says, okay, I want to sell my car. If you know any buyer, I say, how much is my cut? What do you need a cut for? Your friend wants to sell a car. You're not a car dealer. You're a teacher. You're a lecturer. You're a banker. You're something. If you find somebody else who needs it, just tell him simply, oh, you need a car. I have a friend who wants to sell. Which one? You take 5% here, take 5% there. When you're not a professional broker, it is called covetousness. The kind of things I've seen in life, I've realized that covetousness is not a disease of the poor people. Rich people practice it. People want not being satisfied with what they have. And many times, you know what happens? They lose it. I remember a story, I've told this story several times, of a man who was working in an oil company, who connived, listen to this, with a doctor to defraud his company. He went and lied that this was many years ago in Lagos, when every clinic, well not every, most clinics that time, that's how they made money. Stealing from big companies. They will come and lie. The staff will come on weekend. Say, doctor, please, I don't have anything for the weekend. Doctor will give him 5,000 naira and write a bill for 10,000. Together, they will be defrauding the company that the man was sick. So this man did the same thing. This was an oil company worker. He wanted extra money, covetousness. He said his son was sick. So the doctor, of course, wrote up a bill for him. And between him and the doctor, they shared the money. Except that his bosses, when they saw the bill, said, oh, this man's son was sick. They decided to go to his house to go and visit the son. Only to get there and find out the boy was very, very well. The man was not even home when they got there. So, Junior, why didn't you come back from hospital? The man said, I never went to hospital. I've been fit all my life. No problem. They went back to the office, sacked the man. You see, the man with an evil eye runs after money, but does not understand that poverty will come upon him. Do you get the point I'm making? They sacked the man. Listen. The hospital lost the business with the oil company, and the doctor is very lucky. If it was a country where things work properly, he would have probably lost his license. You see doctors signing up fake medical reports. For how much? Then one day somebody comes and yanks away your license. He said, the witches of your village are after you. I've said it again and again. There are no witches after you. It is your iniquity that's chasing you around. This is very important. Beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. A man who is always looking for money is a man who will never have it. How should a man succeed? How will a man prosper? Listen, locate the vision. I need to say this as I close. Locate that place where you belong. Work hard at it and don't be in a hurry. Listen, quick money kills quickly. Are you getting my point? You don't need it. What you need is a persistent increase. Just look and make sure your life is always going forward and you're always getting better in that which you are doing. Listen to me. Let me prophesy to you again. And everyone who will believe these words that I've been saying, it will not happen that they will die early and it will not happen that they will not succeed in life. Listen to me. There's a saying from Western Nigeria. It says the child that doesn't die must become an adult. That is the way it will be with your case. Proverbs chapter 4 says something. It says the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter. This is the way it will be with your life. You're not in a hurry, but you will consistently continue to increase and your light will shine brighter and brighter in the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. Don't let Satan offer you something that God intends to give you. Listen, what Satan does is to offer people the very thing that God was planning to give them. He offers it to them on the platform of iniquity. He said, bow to me and I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. And at the end of the day, the Bible says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And it shall reign forever and ever. That is the very thing that God wanted to give Jesus Christ was what Satan was offering him. The difference was that Satan wanted to give him quickly without him worshiping God. There are two ways you can get things in life. That's what Jesus was saying when he refused to worship that Satan. He said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, only him you will serve. That is, you get things one of two ways, either by bowing down to Satan or by serving God. And that's what I'm saying. As a child of God, as a person of faith, consistently serve God. Consistently get better in what you are doing. Demonstrate faithfulness. I wanted to talk about faithfulness. But our time is out, so I'll continue next time. Demonstrate faithfulness and you will discover, all right, that indeed good will come upon you. As I'm closing, let me read this scripture and we'll pick up from there next time. That's Psalm 37. It said, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Listen to this. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your judgment as a noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. I'll continue the discussion next time. God bless you.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.